Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It's a powerful verse. Now here's Psalm 107. It's actually two verses, 19 and 20. Then they that cry unto the Lord in their trouble, he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Three of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible I've just read to you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you on the subject. The Word is looking for you. There are three that bear record in heaven, and one of those is the Word of God. The Bible said in John chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We understand by faith that the world was created by the Word of God. God said in the book of Genesis, God said, and there was. When God says, there is. So the Word of God is the most powerful thing in the entire universe. And so God's Word is a very powerful entity toward creating in you what God wants for you. And the more you can subscribe to the Word of God, the more that you can embrace the full plan of God for your life. God is a God of precision. He's not a generic God. He's not a scattergun God. But he is a God of specificity. He is a God that specializes. He is a God of precision. He is a God that is able to pull you out of a crowd. When you look at the ministry of Christ, very seldom did he minister to the multitude, but it was one in the midst of the multitude with precision. He could come in and get that one person that would respond to his word. God has a specific plan to accomplish, not only on this earth for his bride in the day to come, but God has a specific plan for each one of us. And his plan is one of prosperity. His plan is always accomplished by his word. His plan cannot fail because his word cannot return void. His word both heals and delivers. His eyes are searching for the target of his word. The Bible said his eyes are going to and fro, looking for the target of his word. Because when his word hits that target, his perfect plan and perfect will is done. And the Bible said those that opt out, by doing foolishly shall have wars. In other words, they'll have problems and turmoil and stress and tribulation in their life. But the Bible teaches us that there are many lessons. The Bible said the Word of God, the Scripture, is given to us, and it's given to us as principles, but it's also given to us as examples and as stories, so that we might learn from those things what we might avoid or what we might embrace in our life. And so there are lessons in the Bible of people that went against the Word, and how there were wars or tribulations or terrible things in their life. But equally, there are stories in the Bible about people that embraced the Word. You remember Peter, how he failed to catch any fish, even though he was a skilled fisherman. But the Bible said Jesus had cast out on the other side, and he did. And Peter said, I've already fished all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, God is showing us how when he embraced the word of God, that it brought fruitfulness, it brought bountifulness, it brought abundance in his life. And the same is true today. And so there are two stories that I would like to draw from in the next few moments. It's the lesson of the poor widow and the rich leper. The Bible teaches us that these principles apply not just to a certain group of people, but they apply to everybody. God is no respecter of person. That means that the application of God's word will work equally in everybody, regardless of gender, regardless of social standing, regardless of race, that the word of God, his principles, will have the same result in everybody. And so the Bible teaches us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. But I tell you a truth, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But in none of them was Elijah sent unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. He said there were a lot of widow women, but only one had this overwhelming miracle happen in her life. And he said there were many lepers in the time of Elisha, but only one had this miraculous healing. He didn't say that was because that was the way I desired it. It was something that they did. And when we look at the world today, most people are not being blessed to the extent that God wants them to be blessed, because they simply, as the Bible said, act foolishly. And so there are wars, there's trouble, there's turmoil, there's strife in their life. But to the people that allow the principles of God to be accomplished in their life turns out to be one of God's plan, one of God's prosperity, one of God's blessing. And so every day of my life, I analyze my life and say, how you doing, Steve? I'm doing better than I was. But am I doing as good as I can? Am I doing as God has wanted me to do? And the answer to the first is, yes, I'm doing better than I was, but it's always no to the second. I'm not doing as good as I can, and I'm not doing good as God wants me to. That means that I need to let the Word of God have more fruition in my life. Because what? The Word of God cannot return void. God's word must accomplish that which he sent it. And God sent his word. See, Jesus Christ could not return to heaven until he accomplished the purpose for which the Father sent him. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He had to come and live on this earth among men. He had to live a sinless life. He had to be tempted in all points and succumb to none of that temptation. He had to die on a cross. He had to be resurrected. He had to do all of these things before he could return to heaven. And so likewise today, God's word is on the earth, but it has purpose. And what is God's purpose? God's purpose is that we might become the begotten of God, that we might become born again. God's purpose is that we would be saved, that we would be delivered, that we would be healed. And so when you look at Jesus Christ going in the crowds, the Bible tells us about the multitude of people that lay by the pool. But the Bible teaches us there was one man that lay there 38 years. Out of all of that crowd of people, only one man was healed. Why was that? I don't believe that he was probably the first man that Christ approached. He was the only one that said yes to the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you there are people in this building that have need, but God is here to meet your need. But the ones that will have their need met are the ones that say yes to the Word of God, because the Word of God will present itself to you over and over again, but you have to say yes to God's word. There were many widows, there were many lepers, but only two said yes. And when they did, amazing things happened in their life. The Word of God is looking for you. Why? Because the Word can't return void until it has accomplished what God has sent it to. So I'm saying to God, God, I'm your Huckabee. I'm your target. I'm what you're looking for. Because the Word that is on the planet today, I welcome it. I attract that Word. Have you ever seen these stories where somebody is lost at sea and they've got these planes flying over the sea and they're looking looking for this little person bobbling in that great big sea, and that person is wanting them to come, but somehow the connection is not being made. God's eyes are running to and fro. We're bobbling in the sea of humanity, 7.5 billion of us, but I'm saying, God, I'm here to attract your attention, because I'm telling you, I am a believer in the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God over my own intellect. You see, that's the difference between an atheist and me. They accept their intellect over God's Word. I say the Word of God is superior to my opinion. It's superior to my education. It's superior to my logic. I might not understand it, but when God's Word says something, I say, I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. But I believe that God's Word is the Creator, and I believe that God's Word is superior to anything else. And so, God, I know that your Word became flesh, and now I want my flesh to become the Word. I want my flesh to be dead to my own personal ideas and logic, and I want my flesh to line up with the Word of God. I want to be like that little widow woman. It made absolutely no sense when the prophet was sent to her, but did you know that the Spirit spoke to her before the prophet ever got there? She was starving to death. She was down to nothing. She had a son that she was responsible for. She was a single mother. And all of a sudden, here comes this prophet, and he's saying, here's what I want you to do. She's just got a handful of meal, just enough to make one more lunch for her son. And the prophet said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bake me a birthday cake. I want you to make me the best cake you can possibly make. That did not make sense to her. Number one, she had to overcome her natural fleshly resistance. The Bible said that the flesh has resistance to the Spirit of God. If you are going to achieve God's plan for you, you are going to have to overcome your natural fleshly resistance. Do you know why people are sleeping right now? That's what their flesh wants to do. Do you ever just have a struggle getting up when that clock goes off? But praise God, some of you lack things, so you get up in the morning, even though your flesh doesn't want to, and you go to work. That's just a little example, but the same thing is true in the kingdom of God. Your flesh says, that doesn't make sense. She said, this makes absolutely no sense, that I'm starving to death, that my son is starving to death. And now the man of God has said he wants me to make him a cake. It doesn't really make sense. Many times, you see, God had already spoken to her and said, sustain the man of God. The Bible said that. He had already spoken to her. Many times it takes a man or woman of God to confirm the Word of God in your life. They have to confirm that to you. But the Bible teaches us that this woman had a natural resistance, and any of us would. Feed your child or give to this preacher. Which one are you going to do? You see, water is one thing. He said, give me some water. She said, all right. But now he's pushing the envelope. I also want you to take the last meal that you've got and make me a cake. She had to be delivered of her fear of loss of her meager existence. She had so little, and yet she was afraid that she was going to lose what little she had. That's exactly how the devil uses the weapon of fear. He always makes you fear that you're going to lose something. Remember the rich man, the rich ruler that came to Christ? He was the exact opposite of this woman. He didn't have one handful of meal and just a little oil. He had a kingdom. He had millions of dollars. But when he came to Christ and Christ told him what to do, the Bible said he went sorrowful. You know why? He thought he was going to lose his millions. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. The same fear tactic is always used by the devil, and that is you're going to lose. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that faith is trusting God, and trusting God is saying, I'm not going to lose, I'm going to receive. I'm not going to be diminished, I'm going to be increased. When we come to the house of God and we we pass offering buckets, the people that give are the people that think that they are going and believe that they're going to be increased. The people that don't aren't mean people. They aren't ugly people. They're fearful people. What if I give that $100 and I need it down the road? The devil always deals with the attitude of fear that you're going to lose something. She had to be delivered of that fear that she was going to lose her meager existence. But nevertheless, something came on this woman, and she could receive the word of God. Your life will never be good. It will never be great. It will never be miraculous until you can dispel fear out of your life and believe the word of God. The reason why Peter stepped out of that boat and walked on the water is because he lost his fear of that water for a moment. But somebody said, yeah, but he didn't walk very far. But he walked farther than you and I have. I've never walked on water at all, not one step. It's really easy to criticize somebody for doing more than you've done just because they weren't perfect. But you have to lose that fear to get out of the boat. But this woman, somehow, with a starving child and a craving body and her meager existence being threatened, was able to totally become obedient to the word of God in our life. And that's where every one of us are. The word of God has been sent. It will accomplish the purpose. I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, it cannot return void. The word of God cannot be unsuccessful. The word of God cannot fail. It has to find somebody before it can return to God himself. And so it might not be you. You might be like that multitude of people laying at the pool and saying, no, I've been here for so long, I just don't believe that I can get up unless the water is troubled. But there's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be one boy in a multitude that's got the few fishes and loaves. It's always going to be one little widow woman out of thousands of widow women. It's always going to be one leper out of thousands of people. It's never going to be the multitude. Ladies and gentlemen, I've made up my mind that I want to be the exception to the rule. I want to be exceptional. I want to say, God, I believe. I will do what the word of God says to me. No matter how fearful my flesh is, no matter how I'm afraid that I'm going to lose something, I'm going to put my trust in God and say, my God will make sure that what I invest in him, I will not lose. But praise God, he'll press it down. He'll shake it together. It will come back to me multiplied. She was a very poor woman. But the Bible said what happened to her once she was obedient. The famine continued. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as we are on planet Earth, there's going to be a famine. There's going to be problems. There's going to be lack. There's going to be need. But God can take you and precisionally extract that from you from that and make you a standout and say, this is one in a million. This is the one widow out of thousands. God wants to do that. He's looking. His eyes are going to and fro, looking to show himself strong. God's looking for somebody to believe him. God's looking for somebody to say, I stand on the word of God. And when you do that, God is going to make you an example to the church. God's going to make you an example to your family. God's going to make you an example to your work. God's going to make you an example to your neighborhood, because look what the Lord has done. And all of a sudden, this starving little woman, this little single widow mother with nothing but a handful of meal, suddenly she is the most blessed in the community. Her meal never ran out. Her barrel was full. She always had plenty. God is saying that to somebody in this building. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your neighbor is doing. It doesn't matter what your cousin is doing. If you can take your faith and say, God, here I am. I'm signaling to the word of God. If you're looking for somebody, I'm your man. I'm your woman right now. Come to me. Manifest in me and let the world see what a good God we have. We don't have a stingy God. We've got a good God. We don't have a mean God. We have a loving God. We don't have a mad God. We've got a glad God. We don't have a poor God. We've got a rich God. God, and that God is in this building today, and there's somebody right here today that you've been struggling, but God is saying, if you'll step out on my word, I'm going to turn your life around. I'm going to make you the example that people are going to look to. Can you say amen? Can you give God some praise in the name of Jesus? And because God is so fair, He deals with the rich and the poor just alike. He doesn't deal with us differently. The next story is the man named Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man, the Bible said. And the Bible teaches us that he had great fame, but he received leprosy. He became a leper. And when he became a leper, the king of Syria could not help him. And so he sent a letter along with an offering to the king of Israel and said, I'm sending you my man, and I want you to heal him. The reason why he was doing that, there had been reputation of miracles happening in Israel. Just maybe you can help my captain. Maybe you can help this rich, influential man. And when he got there, and the king of Israel saw that, the Bible said he rent his clothes. He got all upset. Does he think I'm God? Does he think I can heal this man? What's wrong with him? He's trying to use this as an excuse to declare war on me. That's what he's trying to do. But the prophet of God, Elisha, he heard about it. And he said, oh, tell the king not to be upset. Tell him just to send me. Send him to me because there is a prophet in Israel. I know God. You have to stand out from the crowd. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, who's in the church house. That's the most important thing. Who is the man or the woman of God? Who are the people that believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who believes that nothing is too hard for God? Who believes that God can turn around? Who believes that God is a miracle worker? Who believes that God is able to turn around the doctor's report or the lawyer's report or the banker's report and say, this is what's going to happen in your life? And so Elisha was that kind of a man of God. And so sure enough, Naaman goes down there and he's standing out at the gate and he sends his servant in and he's waiting for Elisha to come out, and Elisha don't even come out. He said, just tell him this, if he'll go down to Jordan River and dip 7 times, he'll be healed of his leprosy. And the Bible said this man was just like a lot of people that go to a real church. If you go to a church and nobody ever preaches and nobody ever gets mad, that's because somebody's not preaching very much. After a while, it ought to make somebody mad, because there's always somebody rebellious. There's always somebody that's going to ignore God. There's always going to be somebody trying to tell God how to run his world. Somebody ought to get mad in church once in a while, if not often. He got so mad, he was going to go back to Syria and die. But he had a little Israeli woman there, a little servant. And she said, hey, just a minute, sir. Said, if he had told you to do some great thing with a lot of pomp and circumstance, you would have done that. But he just told you this simple thing. And she was able to reason to this man. And you know what? This man was what? Just like the little widow woman, she was afraid of losing her meager existence. He was afraid of losing his position. He was afraid that people would hear about him humbling himself. And so he had this tremendous fear. I'm going to lose my position. I'm going to lose my power. I'm going to lose my fame. And he didn't want to lose that. He had to overcome that fleshly resistance, that fear of losing. You know, that's what happens every time people come to the house of God and they don't know the things about God and they hear me or somebody preach the gospel and they sit back there and they've got to make a decision. Am I going to get back up and walk out of here just like I came, or am I going to come forward and receive the word of God? And the devil comes to them just like he did to the little widow, just like he did to the rich leper. And he says, you're going to lose something. You're going to lose something. The devil is a liar. The only thing you're going to lose is negativity. You're going to lose sin. You're going to lose sickness. You're going to lose poverty. You're going to lose hunger. But oh, what you are going to gain is going to be awesome. And this man had to come to grip just like the poor woman did. The rich man was just like the poor. We all have to come the same way. I was preaching in Alexandria, Louisiana, and they told me, said, see that man, the altar was filled with people. See that man right over? I said, yes. Said, that's the best criminal attorney in the state of Louisiana. Said, that guy is famous in Louisiana. And said, look at him. He's in the altar just like everybody else. And I went down there to talk to him. He had never been there before. He was a first-time visitor, but he was in that altar. And you could tell he was a sharp guy. He was dressed well. I talked to him. He was articulate. He was a smart guy. And I was talking to him, and I was trying to talk to him as best I could, and my intelligence probably wouldn't match his in any way. But I was trying to share and witness to him. And I looked over in the corner of my eye, and there was a little girl about 8 years old, and she had her hands up, and the Lord was filling her with the Holy Spirit, and she was speaking a heavy language. I took that lawyer by the elbow, and I said, "Sir, I really can't explain it to you. Let's go over here and watch it." And I took him over there, and he watched that little girl, and all of a sudden, this great attorney, tears started flowing down his face, and he began to emulate the little girl. He just lifted his hands, and he said, "Jesus, I need help in my life." And it wasn't but just a matter of moments until the Holy Spirit settled upon him, and he began to speak in that heavenly language, just like the little girl was. The Bible said, except you become as a child. Oh, friend, it doesn't matter if you're a captain of the host of Syria. You've got to be just like the little widow woman. We all come the very same way. We have to deny the fear of the flesh. We have to deny the fear of the lost. We have to say, we're going to believe the Word of God. And this man was able to overcome his flesh and his pride and his fear of loss. And he went down to that Jordan River. And what's he doing? He's saying, "God, I believe your word has found me." My question to you today, has the word of God found you? The Bible said he sent his word and healed them, and he sent his word and delivered them. There's nothing that you can have in your life that you need that doesn't fit in one of those two categories. You either need to be healed of something, or you need to be delivered of something. And the Bible said he sent his word to heal and deliver. I'm telling you that God's word is here today in this building. And we're all going to get up in about 10 minutes and file out of here. And many people will come just like they left. They will leave just like they came. But there might be somebody in this building that says, "I cannot afford to leave like I came. I don't want to face tomorrow like I faced yesterday. I want something divine in my life. I want the power of God to change me. I want a transformation." How can that happen? You have to understand the Word. The Word. The Word. All things were created by the Word of God, and the Word of God has come to you today, and you either say yes or no. If you say no, you lay at that pool like the multitude, and no miracle ever happens in your life. But if you can be like the one man laying there 38 years, said, "Yes, I believe." The Bible said he was healed at that moment. He got up and took his bed and walked away from 38 years. You might say it's been this way too long. It doesn't matter how short or how long your need has been. If you can believe the Word of God, the Word of God is circling over this building right now. It's just looking for a target. It's looking for somebody saying, "Here I am, Lord, save me. Here I am, Lord, heal me. Here I am, Lord, deliver me. Here I am, God, work in my life. Make the miracle." I believe the Word of God is powerful. I believe the Word of God is supernatural. The Word of God is like a fire shut up in my bones, praise God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what age you are or what your background is. I'm 69 years of age. I've been preaching the gospel since I was just a teenager, but I still struggle with the same thing you do. That's my flesh, because my flesh keeps rearing its ugly head and said, "Now this is what you need to do." And then I hear the voice of God saying, "That's not what you need to do." And then the struggle is on. Am I going to obey my flesh, or am I going to obey the Word of God? Every time I obey the flesh, the Bible said I'm foolish and I will have war in my life. But praise God, when I am wise and I obey the Word of God, the war comes to an end. The transgressions come to an end. The treachery comes to an end. The tribulation comes to an end. And suddenly there's a miracle manifest where the problem was. Somebody in this building today is facing a real crisis in your life. And you have to realize you can't keep doing the same thing and getting a different result. You've got to do something different. You need to get up out of your chair today and say, "Praise God, I'm signaling to the Word of God. Word of God, find me, heal me, deliver me, work in my marriage, work in my business, work in my finance." Would you stand on your feet and lift your hands and praise God right now? God is in this house right now, right now, right this very moment. God is here. and the Word of God is speaking to you. You see, it's my job to preach, but it's really the still, small voice of God that speaks into your heart and your ear. He speaks to you personally, and you either say yay or nay. The promises of God are yes and amen, but you've got to be yes in your life too and say, yes, Lord, praise God. Here comes my brother in the name of Jesus for a miracle. The Word of God is going to make a difference in his life. There are other people in this building right now. You see, we embrace modern medicine. It's just amazing what modern medicine does. But we believe that Jesus Christ is the great physician. Man, if you can go to the doctor and get well, do it. But when the doctor said, now this is the best I can do, and you realize it's out of his hands, can you appeal to the great Word of God and say, God, now send your Word and heal me. Take away the sickness. Take away the diabetes. Take away the cancer. Take away what's going on in my life. We like people that have wise counsel, but can you realize that God knows more than the PhD that the cancer that the counselor has? If you're in this building today and you've got a dilemma in your life, I challenge you to step out and give God a chance. Give God a chance. You see, I've driven a lot of vehicles in my life, and I'm always looking for that shade tree mechanic. A guy can fix my car. It's just going to cost $70. Man, I'm scared of those dealerships. When I roll into one of those, if I don't have a warranty on that thing, when I roll out, they're going to want so much money. But sometimes I have to realize that shade tree mechanic is very limited, especially in this computer age of what he can do. Sometimes I had to bite the bullet, and I got to take it back into General Motors or back into Ford, and they got to do it right. And I got to say, did it cost that much? Yes, it did, sir. But praise God, it runs like a clock now because I took it back to the manufacturer. I know you've tried lots of things, but do you know that you're made in the image of God? I know that your friend meant well when they gave you counsel. And I know that you went to the drugstore because you saw something advertised on TV that was going to make you healthy, and you've been buying that for $9.99 every month and taking it, and you still got the same disease and problem in your life. All that's fine. But you probably need to take it back to the manufacturer and let them put a new part in there that came straight from the factory, because your Creator knows exactly how you're made. You're made in His image, and we thank God for all the help we can get wherever we can get it. But the truth is, thank God, we need to appeal to Jesus Christ. The Word is the ultimate. The Word is the ultimate. He sent His Word to heal them. His Word created. I'm going to promise you right now that you don't have a problem that the Word of God cannot fix. He's in this building. I wish you would come to this altar right now, lift your hands up, and say, God, I've done everything I can with my marriage.